We conclude our tribute to The Seinfeld Show with Jerry himself, recorded in 1987 when he was a not very well-known stand-up comic. He was best known then for his frequent appearances on Johnny Carson and David Letterman. He had just finished making an HBO comedy special in which he talked about his childhood growing up in a middle-class suburban family and what it was like being dragged along on a shopping trip with his mother to buy wallpaper.
Mom, can we get out of here already, please? Mom, come on, let's go. They don't have him. The guy talked to the other guy. They don't. No, no, I don't think they're in the back. I don't even think they have a back here. Let's just get out of here, all right? Just... Of course, when you're a little kid and you get bored, you can't support your body weight at all. You have to really just lie down wherever you are. Your parents, they take you to the bank. That was the classic one. My parents take me to the bank, they turn around from the teller, and I was just flat out on the floor. Just can't make it, Mom. And they get so upset. Would you get up off the floor, please? Get up. I can't get up, Mom. It's too dull in here.
What brought back memories like that?
I saw a kid in a store, and I saw that great kid response where you don't think I shouldn't lie down in public. You think, I'm bored, I'm lying down. The kids just do whatever they want, and they're hilarious to me. But I don't really get it, actually, from seeing kids as much as I actually remember it myself. I remember lying down in the store. I remember begging my mother for a dime so I could sit on a metal horse that vibrates.
I remember all of that stuff, too. I remember how really boring it was to be taken from store to store and to the bank. You're very funny about the bank, about why do people go to banks?
Yeah, and you're so low down, you know, you can't see anything. You know, you just see, like, the price tags hanging off the sleeves of the shirts, and everyone else is enjoying shopping, and you're just looking at all these stanchions and aluminum things that hold everything up. And
When you started doing your material, were you ever worried that your parents would come and hear your act and they'd be a little insulted? We didn't know he was bored when we took him to the bank.
Yes, I was petrified when they first told me. Well, also because I wasn't really funny as a kid, and I felt like I was, you know, exposing this alter ego, you know. Plus, here I am getting up on stage and manipulating these people, you know, into laughing. It's a power thing, you know, and it's weird to do it in front of your parents, because in front of your parents, you always want them to have the power. And then all of a sudden, you get up in this, you know, very controlling situation. I mean, a comedian is basically a very aggressive thing to do. You force people to see things your way so powerfully, they react audibly. You force them to react, to look at things the way I look at them and laugh at it when I say to.
When you put it in power terms, it becomes a very potentially arrogant thing to say, I'm good enough, I'm going to stand up here and make everybody laugh.
Absolutely.
They can all see it my way.
Yeah.
What made you think that you could do it and that being a stand-up comic wasn't a totally absurd and ridiculous idea?
I didn't think I could do it. I thought this is a totally absurd and ridiculous idea. But that's exactly what I thought. And I said, but I have to try it. I have to try it. Because I thought this is the pinnacle of life to me. If you could do this, you know, if you could stand up on stage and make people laugh, that would be the ultimate accomplishment of my personality. And I just thought laughs, to be working with laughs and jokes all the time, what a fun life that would be.
Are audiences more willing to go along with you after they've seen you on TV?
You get a free 90 seconds when people've seen you on TV and they know who you are. You get up on stage, for the first 90 seconds, I would say, to 3 minutes, they'll laugh at just about anything you say, and then it's right back to where you've always been when you were a complete unknown.
So it doesn't help too much.
No, people don't laugh because they recognize you. You know, they do at first, but they don't. It wears off pretty quick. You know, you've got to be funny every night.
How do you work on your routine? You have some ideas, but you've really got to put it together into a good routine, a good bit.
I get an idea, and I think there's something funny about that, and I don't know what it is at first. This is how my stuff usually works. Like, I saw, you know, like McDonald's having a sign that says 60 billion. And I think, now that's, you know, there's something very funny about that. That a company of that size is still counting every burger. You know, I mean, there's some kind of insecurity there that you're still thinking, how well, are we doing well? We're doing well. Aren't we doing well? Look at how many we've sold, you know, and And I don't know, you know, who really cares besides them? And besides which, what is their ultimate goal? You know, if 60 billion is not enough, I mean, do they want cows surrendering, just voluntarily showing up and going, we give up. You've sold so many burgers, we're turning ourselves in. So I don't know. So I look at things, I go, what's funny about that? But like in my show, I talk about Tide being improved. That's a classic kind of joke that I like to do. Now, why would a comedian look at Tide detergent being improved and think that's funny? To me, you know, comedians generally talk about dating or something, but why are they improving Tide? You know, it's just things I have to think about. Does anyone care? So
why are they improving Tide?
It's getting out bloodstains now. And I think if you got a T-shirt with bloodstains on it, maybe laundry isn't your biggest problem. Maybe you ought to get rid of the body first before you do the wash.
Jerry Seinfeld recorded in 1987.